American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good Friday to you. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Friday, April 1, 2005. I'm reporting from Canada, where we still have some things like freedoms and stuff like that, so that I can broadcast the news to the rest of the world. This is nothing against the American people or pro-Canadian. It's just a statement that says that I have the ability to still speak and broadcast through the steel fist. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And I have further evidence of the core political tyranny trying to enslave you in this newscast, which, by the way, is free. And you can follow along with me in all the news stories by going to my LiveJournal, and that can be reached at Sean_Kennedy, S-E-A-N Kennedy, like the dead guy, .livejournal.com. And you can check along with all my news stories, make sure I'm not just making all this crap up or playing April Fool's Day jokes on you, which I'm apt to do on a day like today. But I decided that things are a little bit too serious to be screwed around with some childish games. Of course, is anything really too serious to be screwed around with childish games? I think so. Some of the news stories I got today are really tripping me up, but we're going to get into that just as soon as I tell you that this is a free broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Box Music Network. And you're free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You can hand it out to people you don't know. You can give it to JWs. You can give it to Mormons. You can mail it to the Pope. He needs it because he's in the feeding tube. I wonder, you know, if they're going to do the same thing that they did to Terry Schiavo with the unplugging with Terry Schiavo. If they're going to do that to the Pope too, but I can't see them starving the Pope to death. You know, I just can't see that happening. It's just me. I don't know why. It seems kind of crazy, but you know, I think it's just a guideline. Let's get straight into the feedback. Dear Sean, people in North America seem to have a very romantic view of the Amazon rainforest. So you pose the question, what produces more oxygen than the rainforest? The ocean, plankton specifically. The primary and secondary cause of Central and South America's deforestation are increasing population in the region, necessitating of clear cutting to make room for housing, increasing population in the region, and global necessitating clear cutting to make room for farming, both vegetable and critters. Well, that's not actually true. Most of the clear-cutting is done for doing feedlots, I believe, for beef, rainforest beef. This is what the whole rainforest beef thing is. It's not really the indigenous populace that is causing them to cut down the rainforests. There are a series of cited causes, but not the expansion of indigenous populace is not really one of them. So I'd want you to check your facts on that one. And I just want to state that before I carry on with the rest of this email here. Note that neither of those really have much to do with corporations or with us. Well, yeah, if that was true, that would be true, but unfortunately it's not really. Unless you take global food markets and thereby global appetites into account, at which point the real culprit is the crotch. Now, this is the idea that reproduction, okay? So reproduction looks to be the most ecologically irresponsible thing any person can do. I'm against suffering in any form. Now, I agree with this, totally. But how about some crack-laced food for thought? You, as presumably monogamous individual and presumably monogamous wife, are presumably immune to AIDS transmission. I don't think you'd see anything more about that topic if you figure out where I'm going with it. And that's from Apanthropy, who is an awesome guy, and I'm not meaning to crap on the guy, and I'm not trying to start a flame war with him, but there are a lot more factors to the clear-cutting of the rainforest. And furthermore, clear-cutting of the rainforest, the reason why that's, the oxygen is just one small reason why you don't want to cut down the rainforest. I cannot remember the exact spec, okay? So I can't cite that to you, you know, off the top of my head. And besides, I'd have to verify that anyway. But in 100 square feet of rainforest on the ground there, there's like thousands and thousands of individual life forms and plants and animals and vegetation and stuff that don't exist any other place in the world. And as we destroy the rainforest, we're destroying these plants and vegetation that we haven't named yet, we haven't cataloged yet. We could have the cure for AIDS sitting there in the rainforest, and we don't know about it because we haven't been able to do the research on it. And, of course, we're just burning it down and slashing it up so that we can make more room for rainforest beef. So this is a major problem with the rainforest. If I had my druthers right now, if I had my Montyard army on the go, I would go down there and just take over the rainforest and call it a day. But the problem, of course, is that they wouldn't leave me there. They'd just bomb the shit out of the rainforest, and then that would be a big excuse to go clear-cutting even faster and stronger and all the rest of it. But we're going to be talking about all the activists and how now activism is synonymous with terrorism in just a few moments, because let me tell you, man, some of the laws that are coming down, realistically, I'm really beginning to think that we're in the beginnings of this whole fascist age. Now, we've been looming on a fascist age for quite some time, but somehow, I don't know, in the last little while, things have been seeming to get worse. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm being an alarmist and freaking out, but I don't think so. You know what I mean? There's a lot of crazy stuff going on here. Now, we're going to get straight into the news going on with the Amazon rainforest thing. It seems that the Earth is bitched. Done. We're screwed. All the scientists say so. For the first time, a group of scientists has accomplished the daunting task of evaluating the status of all ecosystems on the Earth. And the outlook is, I like this word, troubling. Commissioned by the United Nations in 2001, the Millennium Ecosystem Assessment Program will issue a primary report March 30th during the press conference in London, Washington, D.C., Tokyo, Beijing, New Delhi, Brasilia, Cairo, Nairobi, and Rome. More than 2,000 scientists from 95 countries participating in the assessment and concluded that the environmental benefits that human societies depend on and take for granted, basic necessities such as food, clean air, potable water, and fuel, are rapidly being degraded. Well, that's kind of no duh. We all kind of knew about that, but it looks like we may be paying the piper. The assessment examines the state of global environment, but it's more than that, said Harold A. Mooney and Paul S. Achilles, professor of environmental biology at Stanford University and co-chair of the assessment site's oversight panel. It relates goods and services that ecosystems provide to human well-being. And surprisingly enough, that's never been done before, end quote. Well, which is bizarre. I can't believe that's never been done before. Like, you'd figure that that would have been done, but I guess that's something else we took for granted. Mooney will participate in the March 30 press conference in Washington, D.C., which has already happened, of course, which will focus on the implications for the United States and international business institutions. Funded by the Global Environment Facility, the United Nations Foundation, the David and Lucille Packard Foundation, the World Bank, and others, the Millennium Ecosystems Assessment Program will evaluate future scenarios and give governments and institutions direction that Mooney described as consensus of the scientific community and synthesis of all available information. If you look at all the indicators as human well-being globally, at globally average, we're doing pretty well, Mooney said. But in the last 50 years, we've changed the structure of the world's ecosystem at a faster rate than in any time in history. Now, that's pretty puffy poo that he said that, oh yeah, we're doing pretty good. I mean, it's not really that bad, but, you know, we're damaging and destroying everything faster than we ever have in human history. Well, that's a little bit disturbing to me, and I don't really think that we should keep doing that. And furthermore, it's nice that they did this study, and it's nice that there's a Millennium Program. It's good that they're showing it to the UN, but you know what? The UN has no power. The UN cannot tell these corporations, hey, you know what? You're going to stop cutting down the rainforest now. Because corporations will say, hey, why don't you kiss my ass? Because we've got the Americans backing our military might, and if you so much as move against us, we'll kill you dead. Because we will use military force to protect our profits. Why not? We've done it every day since then. So it's, you know, gradually, as the core politicals take this stance, it's no surprise that protesters and activists are, in fact, getting more militant, because what else are they going to do if they wish to be effective? They're kind of being pressed into this sort of scenario. You know, it's a little bit unfortunate, but there it is. Now, in other news, we've also got it known that all your medical data, don't you worry, because that's getting prepared to be stolen. Okay, because we're going to take all of our paperwork and throw it all digital and then hook it to a database, which, of course, will be stolen because that's what they do with all the information that they put together. It gets ripped off all the time. There's no security anywhere. Medical data prepared for theft. A new NHS computer database may threaten the privacy of patients and medical records, the BBC has learned. This is, of course, in England, which, you know, they don't have any privacy anyway. I don't know why they're even bothering. A senior Department of Health and Civil Servant said people would not want to be able to decide what details were stored. Critics said this went against earlier government assurances that patients would be able to veto the information. So, yes, we told you you'd be able to stop us from putting certain information in, but we lied to you. The Department of Health said people could still discuss with their doctors what details were recorded and control who had access to them, except in an emergency. So they get to talk, but you're pissing on my back telling me it's raining. The database, which is being installed as part of the NHS's £6.2 billion IT upgrade, allows staff to access medical records whenever someone is treated, which sounds at first like a good idea, but actually may not be such a grand idea. Experts warn that the final cost of the system could hit, check this out, £31 billion. That's like $70 million. or $70 billion, pardon me. Phil Walker, the DOH's head of digital information policy, made the privacy claim as an email to a Warwickshire GP, Dr. Paul Thornton. Incidentally, I named a university after that guy, which was actually named after Nuthouse. But anyway, the BBC's Andrew Hoskin said Mr. Walker stated patients do not have the right to determine what information is recorded about them by doctors or veto how it is recorded. So this, they tell you in one breath that you have the ability, don't worry about this system, don't worry, you'll be able to veto the information that we put on there. Then it comes out that, no, we're not going to let you veto it, sorry, and the doctors aren't going to let you veto it, sorry, what's your recourse? Do you have any legal recourse? What about the guy on the street? Does he have the ability to go after this legally, or is the legal system essentially a sham? Really, I mean, if you look around at all the cost of the legal system, and how he who hath the biggest lawyers wins, is the legal system really a viable form of resistance anymore? It used to be. You used to be able to go to court and fight and win. Now you can't because the whole thing's bought and paid for. And they have this sham saying, well, the court said so, so it must be okay. Well, you know, it's getting to the point now where the court, is it too corrupt? I put it to you. Is the court system globally, is the global legal system too corrupt to be effective? I put it to you that it may just be. And so I'm not the only one who thinks so. I'm not condoning this activity, but it's because the global system is corrupt on the legal, the global legal system now. Because that is corrupt, because they don't adhere to the legal system. The UN passes all kinds of mandates. Nobody adheres to them. You know, so why should anybody else? It's just, you know, gradually as we move forwards, we're realizing that the legal system is just yet another method of distraction, which, you know, none of us were raised anymore. Our children aren't raised anymore. They're distracted. They're fed through the television. They're fed the Prozac. They're fed the Ritalin. They're fed the lithium. And then when they're old enough, they switch over to Zyban and Xanax. And, you know, if they can make it through their teenage years and all the hormone flux without blowing their own heads off or someone else's, then, you know, we're going to slap you in the cog and burn you out until, you know, you die working for Home Depot or whatever. Now, going along with this, for those crazy people out there that have decided they want to, you know, act out against this stuff and talk about it and stuff like that, well, it seems the FBI doesn't like it when people go to websites that talk about, you know, dissemination of information and stuff like that. So this is from Slashdot. The details are yet unclear due to a gag order, but apparently the FBI is once again demanding IP logs from dissident web servers when the FBI attacks. The sysadmin from flag.blacken.net, best known for its hosting infoshop.org and AnarchistFact, has responded to an FBI request for server logs. Although he cannot reveal the details of request due to a gag order, the sysadmin has issued an informal press release discussing his reasons for turning over the information. This is from the site. I have been ordered to submit IP info on two separate incidents having to do with subdomains hosted on Flag. Now, they're doing a specific investigation, so I don't think they're phishing. I don't think they just showed up and said, hey, give me all your logs. Because there's better sites for them to go to than just this one, so there's an investigation happening. Both of these are in regard to claimed or threatened responsibility for acts of propaganda by the deed. For acts of propaganda by the deed. Interesting. Both incidents involve topics which are completely out of line for consideration here at Flag. Okay, so it's not the usual activism stuff. And I really can only view them two ways. Either people are simply ignorant about the murderous history of the FBI, or, it, as is my belief in one case, they are trying to make Flag vulnerable to government intrusion. So it seems that the FBI is now slowly but surely working their way onto the web. I guess they feel that we got nowhere to go, right? I mean, you know, we can run, but we can't hide. You know, that's the big American thing. You know, you can run, but you can't hide. Well, yeah, no, unfortunately, we can't hide. And if it's necessary, we have Wi-Fi. And we'll build our own goddamn wireless internet. If you keep this up, you're not going to stop us, okay? We've already gotten used to having the amount of freedom of information that we have. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep fighting. We're not going away. Sorry. But be aware that this is the kind of thing the FBI is capable of doing, and like Buddy said, they do have a pretty murderous history. So, you know, hey, something you might want to think about if you're thinking about getting involved in the activist field. It's not like in the early 80s where everybody and their dog can put on a t-shirt and go to a punk concert and say, yeah, man, fight the system, fuck the power. It's now getting to the point that if you put on the t-shirt, you could get arrested, as people have been arrested for wearing t-shirts. If you say the wrong thing, you get arrested. So make sure that you're up for the fight if you're going to step in the ring. Because if you can't do the time, don't do the quote-unquote task, which can be labeled a crime. So just something to think about. And, of course, following along with this wonderful piece of news, no child left undrugged. The New Freedom Commission was established by executive order on April 29, 2002, a few years ago. On that date, at a speech in New Mexico, Bush said mental health centers and hospitals, homeless shelters, and the justice and school systems. Now, this is not just the school system, the justice system, homeless shelters, mental health centers, and hospitals have contact with individuals suffering from mental disorders, which, of course, that is such a vague statement because everybody, it could be argued that sentient life is a mental disorder, but anyway, but there's too many Americans fall through the cracks of the current system. No, we're not falling through the cracks, guy. We're scurrying to them. And he created the commission to ensure the cracks are closed. Oh, great. No escape much. On July 22, 2003, the NFC recommended redesign of the mental health system in all 50 states and said achieving this goal will require a greater focus on mental health care and institutions such as schools, child welfare programs, the criminal and juvenile justice systems, and you can bank also that, you know, if they start regulating daycare heavily, that they're going to start doing it in daycare centers. Why not start them early and start them off them? It's never too soon for lithium. The goal is to integrated care that can screen, identify, and respond to problems early. This is all from a press release. Despite a nearly 500% increase in mental health drugs being prescribed to children in the previous 6 years. What, did all the kids go fucking crazy in the last 6 years? The NFC recommended a plan of mandatory mental health screening for all public school students and follow-up treatment with drugs when needed. This is, you know, pharma fascism is what this is. The fact is, this is nothing more than another elaborate profiteering scheme hatched by Bush and the pharmaceutical industry, which is the core political I'd like to take out, to convert the millions of people in the public systems into customers for new psychiatric drugs in order to funnel more tax dollars to pharma. David Oakes, director of Mind Freedom, a coalition of groups which advocate the rights of people with psychiatric disabilities, says the plan amounts to no child left undrugged, which is true. I mean, why even bother? You know, role-playing games have been long forgotten, and I'm here to tell you, you need to go out and buy yourself some RPG books, get together with a group of your friends, and start gaming now in order to preserve your critical thinking and tactical thinking ability. I'm not joking. That is quite easily, everyone talks about physical exercises, not a lot of people like to read. I wrote my first book, The Bloodstained Rabbit, this is a true story, bit of a side note here. I wrote my first book, The Bloodstained Rabbit, without ever having read a book before. I wrote it when I was 14. The only way I was able to do that was because I was playing role-playing games. They're not the same as online games. Get away from the computer, get a book, crack it open, make a character sheet, get together, don't do a party of larger than five. Okay, make sure that you got one GM, four players. That's your perfect size. And start running games. Find a world you like. You know, maybe I should just put out a Tales from the Afternow role-playing game. I'll get people to send me in illustrations and stuff. You know, and then we'll just put out an open-source role-playing game to preserve the ability of tactical thinking. That's a pretty good idea. I mean, there's got to be something we can do to preserve the imagination of our young people because it's being drugged out of them. Now, a report by Alan Jones claims the pharmaceutical industry has methodically compromised our political system at all levels and has systematically infiltrated the mental health delivery system of this nation. And they did this, of course, with money, because the whole thing's driven by cash. Jones says the NFC doesn't have the Orwellian goal of drugging the populace for a political purpose. No. It's the Orwellian goal of drugging the people for an economic purpose. Well, you know, I think they're going to start with economics, switch it to political. That's just me, though, because I'm a cynic. Jones was an investigator in the Pennsylvania Office of Inspector General, OIG, Bureau of Special Investigations, when the model for this profiteering scheme was implemented in PA. He calls it the Trojan horse for the pharmaceutical industry. It's not much of a Trojan horse, man. It's pretty obvious because these drugs got to come from somewhere. Jones recently answered questions from Independent Media TV regarding his investigation and the unhealthy alliance between PA officials and pharma that facilitated the adoption of a scheme in PA that could potentially lead to thousands of people being prescribed dangerous psychiatric drugs for the sole purpose of increasing drug company profits. Why not? You know, let's just dope up the people. If they die, who cares? We want to kill off most of the population anyway. It's the story of the betrayal of our society's most helpless citizens. Well, of course, if you're, you know, following the dog-eat-dog world of jungle theology, then who gives a crap about the society's most helpless citizens? Let them die in the street. Welfare is stupid. The project being implemented by PA was based on the Texas Medication Algorithm Project, pronounced TMAP, created in 1995 while Bush was governor. Great. Wonderful. So now we have dope everywhere. Once again, just say no. Now, we have a bit of a news on the Patriot Act, which, of course, is, you know, the great one of the great princes of darkness ever, the Patriot Act and Patriot Act 2. But apparently they arrested a lawyer, and now he's attacking the Patriot Act. So, I mean, this is it's back in the news, and at least someone's fighting it. FBI agents used provisions of the USA Patriot Act during their investigation last year of a Portland attorney, Portland, Oregon, I imagine, who was wrongly jailed for 2 weeks on suspicion of involvement in a Madrid train bombing. That's quite away from Madrid, according to a Justice Department letter. The Patriot Act allows for covert searches of homes without conventional search warrants. Covert searches. You go out, FBI comes in, searches your house, copies your database, leaves, doesn't tell you they were there. That's a covert search. Now, I wonder if there's a way we could set up our disks. This is one of the reasons why when I leave my house, I leave a copy of Derek's Boot and Nuke loaded in my A drive, so that if that computer gets turned on, it destroys all the data that's in there. I do have to remember to take the disk out again, but that's one of those little things that I do because I am cautious. Brandon Mayfield was jailed in May after his fingerprint incorrectly was matched to one found on a bag of detonators near the scene of the Madrid attack, which killed 191 people. He was released after the FBI admitted its mistake. You know, I would think anybody who's a terrorist would have at least have the brains to wear gloves. Mayfield, a Muslim convert, has filed a lawsuit against the U.S. government, contending that his rights were violated by his arrest and by the investigation against him. He also contends that the Patriot Act is unconstitutional, which, of course, it is. While preparing the case, Mayfield's attorney sent a letter to the Justice Department in February seeking an order compelling U.S. Attorney General to inform Mayfield about any electronic surveillance that was conducted during the investigation and any secret searches. Good luck getting that, dude. In response, the Justice Department sent a letter acknowledging the FBI agent searched Mayfield's house. Wow, he didn't even know his house was searched, so bear that in mind. The letter provides new details about the investigation, stating that agents seized 3 hard drives, took 10 DNA samples, and took 335 digital photographs of items in his home. Without his knowledge. All this happened without his knowledge. So they came in, seized 3 hard drives, he must have known it's that, because how the hell could he not see 3 hard drives gone? Took 10 DNA samples and took 335 digital photos of items in his home. So when he comes home and finds his hard drive gone, well, I guess that's that pesky FBI. Now you know where your socks are going. It's all going to the covert FBI guys. Now, I got a special report here about MS-13, and this is from Rebel Whore. I'm going to read it to you almost verbatim here. And MS-13 is that group of invaders who's coming up through Arizona, and now there's Minutemen being mobilized, people taking volunteers, and they take their handguns, go down to the border, and it's basically a border war happening in Arizona right now between a drug cartel gang and the people living in that region, which nobody's talking about. There's gunfire going on. It's an alien invader. Seems to be an invasion to me. Seems to be terrorism to me. I don't think civilians should be doing this. I think the U.S. Army Rangers should go down there and sort that shit out. But that's just me, you know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why you'd enlist civilians to fight an invading army when you've got an army that's perfectly good at doing that. Of course, they're all over the world trying to dominate things for core political, so that's probably why they got civilians down there. But, you know, anyway, getting into the report about MS-13. Hey, Sean. This is regarding MS-13 gang versus the civilian border patrol story from Tuesday. Great. An involvement of MS-13, which I'm going to try to say this here. MS means Mara Salvatrucha. Mara Salvatrucha, which I'm sure all my Spanish people listening are saying, wow, are you screwing that up? I believe it's from both sides of the border. Members of the gang that live on the U.S. side of the border, as well as members from the Mexican side, are involved in the issue. I live in Los Angeles. So you can imagine it's a bigger issue here than anywhere else in the country because a large number of the immigrants that cross the border on a daily basis, and it's because it's where a large number of MS-13 members live. It seems that the Civilian Volunteer Border Patrol, or Minutemen Project, that is known, has been getting a lot of attention from neo-Nazi organizations all over the country. Great. This is partly due to a few shootings involving illegal immigrants trying to cross the border. These organizations have been advocating the group of border volunteers because of the obvious neo-Nazi views on illegal immigrants. Well, you know, there is something to be said for if you have a border, you do have to enforce that border. You know, I'm not into the neo-Nazi thing at all, but if you're going to have a border and you're worried about keeping people out, you do have to create a barrier there. I mean, that's why there's a border. You know, and if you can't enforce it, you do have to use civilians. And if the neo-Nazis are getting on board with that, well, that's unfavorable, but I don't think... You know, you can condemn what they're doing. I think that stopping a total criminal organization who's transporting hard drugs into the country, I think that that's probably a good thing. And if I can get neo-Nazis shot in the process stopping drugs, I mean, well, we're killing two birds with one stone there, aren't they? The news here in Los Angeles reported how a few families and individuals, people getting shot at by these volunteers. For years now, the ranchers from Arizona and nearby border states have been trying to prevent illegal immigrants from trespassing their land. Okay, which is, of course, the border. They began forming nightly patrols and using firearms and rifles to simply scare away people trying to cross the border. Again, I don't have a problem with this. You're invading. You are invading a nation. They don't want you there. You're not supposed to be there. It's not your country. Don't go there. If you get shot, that's because you're invading. In a few cases, there were reports of these, quote-unquote, volunteers shooting groups of traveling immigrants that weren't anywhere near their property. And there were several shot dead found in areas where civilian volunteers are known to patrol. Again, these are illegal immigrants, which makes them invaders. Even though they're a family of five and they're looking for a better life, unfortunately, okay, they are trespassing. They are invading into the country. So if you shoot them, I mean, it's kind of a risk. They know that risk is there. Personally now, I don't agree with blowing away a family of five who are just looking for a better life. Okay? But realistically, if they're crossing the border with their family and they know this is happening because everybody knows this is happening, they're rolling the dice. Don't do this. Things are really hairy right now. The United States is getting a little paranoid. So they want to stop illegal immigration. And how else are you going to stop it? What, are you going to throw a wall up? At some point, the MS gang, originally from El Salvador, great, is also known as one of LA's largest gangs with over 20,000 members in the U.S. alone. Okay, so that's a 20,000-member illegal army within the United States. I don't have a lot of patience for gangs. Became involved, many of whom are descendants of immigrants themselves. The gang claimed that they wanted to protect families of illegal immigrants with whatever force is necessary. Outstanding! Great! Now, it's not because these people aren't white, it's not because these people are Spanish, it's not because these people are Mexican, but the bottom line here is that there is a border, there is a perimeter of a country, and you're not allowed to go in there, so now you've got this illegal gang that gets its money from drugs and hard drugs and prostitution, okay, and various illegal activities, creating a railroad to bring in more people. You can't have this. You cannot allow this to happen, okay? It just doesn't make sense, all right? The gang claimed they wanted to protect the families of illegal immigrants with whatever force necessary. Okay, now that's a nice that you're doing that, but unfortunately the whole thing is invasion and illegal. Sorry, but I believe the actions involved in a combination of racial and drug trafficking related interests. Of course, there's money there, because otherwise the gang wouldn't want nothing to do with it. You think gangs are all happy people? No. They're like core politicals who've gotten rid of the lawyers. They know they're known for setting up large drug smuggling operations, some say rivaling those of the Mexican mafia. Outstanding. At first, they began simply to drive up to civilian volunteers, these U.S. citizens. These are the U.S. citizen members of MS-13, and overpowering them using bats and clubs-style weapons. Okay, so they drive up to patrols and overpower them using bats and clubs. But now that the neo-Nazi community is becoming involved and the whole issue has grown to a small war between the gang and the ranchers and other local volunteers. Now, I'm sure that there's not that many neo-Nazis there. There's probably some militant people who go, you know what, this is my country, I don't want it invaded. I don't think that makes you a neo-Nazi. I don't think it makes you a neo-Nazi if you don't want your country invaded, because I would be pissed off if my country being invaded too. You know? I personally don't condone the actions of either group. And I also believe that this is from the letter now, that they're both largely motivated by racism. Maybe not. I do think... that the rancher had a right to protect their land, but I don't believe it's necessary to shoot these people. Most of them simply come here to work the jobs that no one else wants. Well, that's a real big generalized statement. I think it's very dangerous what these volunteers are doing. They're putting themselves at risk, as well as the lives of the immigrants, and they are probably also starting a racial war that will only cause harm instead of helping the nation. Anyway, some articles, they'll talk about this in more detail, and I've linked to them off my site. Outstanding report, Rebel Whore. Thank you very much for that. Did I give you the right? Yes, it was Rebel Whore who sent me that in. Outstanding. Now, on this issue of the border invasion. Now, guys, I hate to put this to you. I don't care if it's hordes of children crossing the border, okay, between the ages of 5 and 8. It doesn't matter. They're not allowed in the country. These are the rules. Okay, now I'm not saying I'm going to take the old Apaches here and cut loose on the chain gun on a group of children, but I'm saying that you need to stop them. And when they keep coming, you have to use force to stop them. I'm not saying you needed to light up the scopes. Now, if it was just families crossing the borders, and they say in the article that ranchers were scaring them off with rifles, you know, they're not blowing them away, get off my land, blah, 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 blah. You know, you're not supposed to be in the country. Very sorry, but there it is. You know, and if the Border Patrol was doing their job, the ranchers wouldn't need to be there. But since the breakdown here is not with the ranchers, that's not their fault. They're ranchers. This is their country. This is their land. They're not trained for this. They're ranchers. So when the immigrants come across, they will view them however they see fit. If they see them as invaders, if they see them as whatever. Maybe I'm sure some of these ranchers take these people in. Whatever. The bottom line is the Border Patrol is not doing its job. The ranchers shouldn't have to deal with this because they're ranchers. So the Border Patrol, first of all, right off the top, is not doing its job because they have all these problems. Now we've got civilians doing vigilante-style justice. Okay, now that's undesirable. However, the minute MS-13 shows up and goes, yeah, you know what, we're going to start overpowering people. Whoa. We're going to have a drug gang who's running drug money and arms into the country along with the immigrants? And now they're fighting back against people trying to stop this invasion? No. With force and bats and guns and clubs and stuff? No. Bad. Now, if MS-13 thinks that they're going to get away with this, I don't know. But and this is probably why this is being covered huge in the news. Because if it was being covered huge in the news, what do you suppose some people who really knew what the fuck they were doing would go down there and sort these MS-13 people out? I would rather have the Army show up than a bunch of freewheeling mercs who just came back from Iraq and decided to, you know, they've been trained in the deserts of Iraq and now they're going to go to the deserts of Arizona and start taking on Spanish gang members. Dude, okay, you don't want that because you're going to lose. And there's going to be a much higher death toll on the MS-13 side. So let's de-escalate here. But because the MS-13 has escalated that's why the escalation is happening. It is not America that is causing this escalation. This is from this Spanish terrorist gang that is causing this escalation. Let's not cut the shit here, okay? And these people, you know, yeah, they're taking jobs from us. Whatever. Okay, so they're taking jobs that no one else wants. I don't know. I don't know what the unemployment rate is, right? What the unemployment rate is like. I don't care about any of that. The bottom line is it's against the law what they're doing. They're breaking the law. And if you just keep breaking the law with an immigration thing like this and the crossing the border and all that kind of jazz, it has to be stopped. It has to be stopped. And when they try to stop it, when they try to stop them and they start using, you know, force against that, well, then that you then become a forceful invader. Think about it. You're in your house. A guy comes in. He's going to set up shop in your backyard. And you're like, no, dude, you can't be here. This is my property. And he starts turning against you with force. What is that, if not invasion? I mean, really, it's a 20,000-man army. I'm a little concerned about this. Just me. Now, Sony is getting into the movie gig, which is kind of an interesting idea. Sony is going to make the top 500 films available digitally in the next year. I'd like to see how this is going to get cracked. Michael Arrieta, am I saying that right? Senior Vice President of Sony Pictures said the U.S. Digital Hollywood Conference wants to create an iTunes, quote unquote, for films. DVD John, where are you, buddy? Films will be put onto flash memory for mobiles over the next year, says Mr. Arrieta, and it will develop its digital download service for films. Movies, studios are keen to stop illegal file sharing on peer-to-peer nets and cash in on digital download market. Good luck, guys. Movie piracy cost the industry $3.7 billion in 2003. No, it didn't cost them a dime. Actually, that's a total lie, according to analysts. The cost, that means that the movie industry had to spend $3.7 billion. No, they just didn't make an estimated. They have nothing to base that on. Oh, well, you know, that's the amount of things that are going on. We use the highest point cost average, you know, and assuming, of course, that everyone who pirated because they had the money to spend it and they would have spent it at the theater. I love these we lost money things. That's just such total bullshit. The movie industry body, the MPAA, Motion Picture Association of America, who's also a neo-Nazi organization, has started a campaign of legal action against operators of BitTorrent, eDonkey, and Direct Connect peer-to-peer networks. Actually, I think that MS-13 is actually supported by the MPAA and the RIA. I'm pretty sure that they're down there doing that, so I think we should probably arrest all of them as well. We want to set business models, pricing models, and distribution models like Apple Chief Steve Jobs did for music, but for the film industry, Mr. Arrieta told CNET News. Sony and other movie studios say CNET are keen to wrestle power and financial gain from any single technology giant like Apple, which has had success with iTunes for music downloads. Well, that'll be cool. Might take a while to get the downloads happening, but with high speed, hey, why not? You know, and of course, well, that just gives us another method to rip stuff from in order to get some good media. So what the hell? Now, some people are going to say to me, and I know this is going to come, so I'm just going to stop this right now. They're going to say, Sean, on one hand, you say that these immigrants entering the border are breaking the law. And on the other hand, you're talking about ripping file music, and both of them are breaking the law. What gives? Okay, first of all, The idea of countries and borders and having a nation, in order to secure your area, you must run a secure area first. No matter what you do in any operation at any time, even if you were to hit the ground, the first thing you do is secure the area so that you know that you're safe. Okay, that's the purpose of securing the area. Sharing music, okay, should not be a crime right off the top. I mean, the whole concept of sharing music and art is not a crime. I will share music with as many MS-13 people as they want. I will give them all the Noam Chomsky they can eat. Not a problem. Come on over to my house. I will sit you down. I will feed you nachos. You get to make the salsa because you'll be better at it than I will be. And we will watch movies until the cows come home. But don't start killing people. When you have people crossing the border, entering a country illegally, okay, that is an invasion. This is a lot different from the kind of quote-unquote crime that peer-to-peer networks commit. Okay, we're talking about two totally different levels. And that's the kind of thing that people will throw at you. They'll say, well, you know, if you break one law, you break all the laws. I'm sorry, I don't believe the all sin is equal thing. I don't buy that. I don't buy that. You know, you can sell that to someone else. Because, you know, the guy who copies music is not the same as the hardened drug dealer shooting people. It's not the same thing. Now, we got a new arms race on the go. This is great. The Pentagon has released a summary of top secret Pentagon... released the summary of a top-secret Pentagon document, thank you, which sketches America's agenda on the global military domination. This is fantastic. Now, this is one of those stories that makes me go, great, so America is really going Nazi. That's good. This redirection of America's military strategy seems to have passed virtually unnoticed, with the exception of the Wall Street Journal. Not a word has been mentioned in the U.S. media, which, you know, it's good to see the Wall Street Journal at least try some stuff. There's been no press coverage concerning this mysterious military blueprint. The later outlines, according to the Wall Street Journal, Americans' global military design, which consists in enhancing U.S. influence around the world. Now, this is a scary, scary document, guys. Through the increased troop deployments and massive buildup of America's advanced weapons systems. While the document follows in the footsteps of the administration's quote-unquote preemptive war doctrine, as detailed in the neocons' project of the New American Century, PNAC, it goes much further in setting the contours of Washington's global military agenda. It calls for more proactive approach to warfare, beyond the proactive approach to warfare, there's a line, beyond the weaker notion of preemptive and defensive action. So we'll kill you before you kill us. Where military operations are lost against declared enemy with a view to preserve the peace and defend America. So, you know what? I don't like you. I don't like your country. We think you may be a threat, so we're going to preemptively strike you, kick your ass, take all your stuff. What the hell, man? How newspeak is that? The document explicitly acknowledges America's global military mandate beyond regional war theaters. This mandate also includes military operations directed against countries which are not hostile to America, but are considered strategic from the point of U.S. interests. Dude, U.S. interests mean what? What are U.S. interests? They're the core political. So they're not defending their own border against an illegal immigrant gang that's running drugs and guns into the country, but they're all about going into countries that pose no threat whatsoever to, you know, kill their people and take their shit. From a broad military and foreign perspective, all this is happening. I love this. They're running this document. At the same time, they've got illegal, blatantly drug-running terrorist gangs crossing the border. And they're still talking about this. From a broad military and foreign policy perspective, the March 2005 Pentagon documents constitutes an imperial design which supports U.S. corporate interests worldwide. Great. At its heart, the document is driven by the belief that the U.S. is engaged in a continuous global struggle that extends far beyond specific battlegrounds, such as Iraq and Afghanistan. The vision is for the military is far more productive, focusing on changing the world instead of just responding to conflicts such as North Korean attack on South Korea and assuming greater preeminence in countries where the U.S. isn't at war. Okay, guess what? You are dreaming if you think you're going to be able to do that. The U.S. right now needs to suck back and reload in a big way. They need to pull their troops out from all over the world and look after their own nation. How in the hell do you expect to look after the world if you can't even get your own people to read? Come on now. Come on now. Obviously, this is an individual cash grab masquerading as patriotism. This is ridiculous. And no one has got the nuts to say anything, and it's pissing me off. Because you know what? I really like America. I'd like it, you know, if they were to stop invading, we could have a massive immigration program. We could have all the immigrants we wanted because we'd have all this labor shortage. We'd be needing more people because industry would be up. You see, once you suck back and stop running on a war machine, the whole world kind of writes itself back up again. But no one's going to do that. No one's going to do that. Now, adding to this, in England, this is kind of cool. We got power armor now. Everybody knows about power armor, not just the mecha thing now. Power armor means electrically charged and reactive armor. Very, very cool. Scientists have developed a revolutionary electric armor system that can resist attack by RPGs and other shaped charge weapons whilst remaining a practical weight size for armored vehicles to carry. A recent demonstration consisting of a bulletproof metal plating, insulated power distribution lines, and storage capacitors weighs a mere couple of tons, which is not much for armored vehicles, but as a protective effect equal to carrying an extra 10 to 20 tons of steel armor. Wow, it's clan armor. Commenting on this last invention, Destel's professor John Brown says RPGs can be easily picked up from the street stalls for as little as $10 in most of the world's trouble spots. Wow, $10 RPG. It only takes one individual, say on a rooftop in a village, to press one trigger to cause major damage to a passing armored vehicle. That's true. If they get it in the hatch, they're done. The DSTL electric armor system is an exciting advance, which has generated a lot of interest in both the UK and US defense circles. I am confident that our system is the way forward for lightweight defense military vehicles. It is being strongly supported by the Army and Ministry of Defense to reduce the threat from this highly dangerous class of weapon. DSTL scientists have recently demonstrated an armored troop carrier protected by electric armor in which, when danger threatens, the outer skin of metal plates can rapidly be electrified with several thousand volts. Holy crap! Which also is huge for, it's like all over vehicle taser. When hit by the RPG or other shaped charge warhead, the incoming copper jet has to pass through the electrified field where it has to endure the passage of many thousand amperes of current. So it essentially tasers the explosion. Brilliant! That's some pretty clever stuff. I got to give them that. So, again, it's armor that saves lives. Like it. Why don't we take this armor and go down to Arizona and stop all these drug traffickers? Just a thought. Sorry. Now, life extension drugs. This is a funny article because you can bet I prophesy that this is going to be the next big fad. After, the core political pharmaceutical giants drug all our children, the next thing they're going to want to do is take all the retirement funds from old people by selling them drugs to make them live longer. That's going to be the next big scam. Professor John Speakerman from Aberdeen University says hormone thyroxine could boost metabolism and so lifespan. Boost metabolism, so it's speed. He said the tests on mice suggested that a right dose could be identified, that if the tests on mice suggested that if the right dose could be identified, humans who would otherwise have died at 70 could live to 100. That's a huge statement, which is mostly vapor, but you can bet that they're going to have as many core political pharmacom giants jump on that as they can. But leading hormone specialists warned that too much of this stuff can cause potentially fatal health problems. Studies carried out in Aberdeen University showed that mice with the highest metabolic rate lived about 25% longer than those with the lowest. So what? Professor Speakerman said this would translate to a difference of about 30 years in humans when mice were given thyroxine. They had to increase metabolic rates and live longer compared with animals who were not given the hormone. So that's a great story, probably a myth. Don't think it's really going to work, but you can bank. That's what I say, man. Stories like this are going to start showing up. You just wait. And it'll be going on and on and on talking about how, this drug extends your life. That drug extends your life. And they're going to be raping the grandparents to get the cash so they live longer. Live to see your grandchildren. That'll be the commercials. You just wait. And then, of course, the drugs aren't going to work. The drugs aren't going to work because the last thing anybody wants is for old people to live longer because they're not productive, right? We want to kill them as soon as they turn 60. That's what they're going to want to do. Now, update on Microsoft. Remember a while back I was talking about that kid who wrote the Blaster B Worm author? Jeffrey Lee Parson was his name. Microsoft landed on this kid. $500,000 in fine, prison time, all the rest of it for writing a piece of code. Which, he's a hardcore threat at, with that keyboard there. He's definitely going to, injure some people, hurt some kids, but he gets $500,000 in fine. Now, Microsoft, this is pretty cool. I rip on Microsoft from time to time. I've been really upset with some of the things Microsoft has done, but this is kind of cool. Microsoft has decided not to collect $500,000 worth of fines from this Blaster B author, Jeffrey Lee Parson. Instead, Parson will have to do an additional 225 hours of community service on top of the year and a half in prison and 100 hours community service already ordered. The two parties earlier this week signed a legal agreement releasing Parson from his financial obligation to Microsoft, Reuters reports. As previously reported, Parson was jailed for 18 months in January 2004 after pleading guilty to intentionally causing damage to a protected computer. Parson created Blaster Bee after modifying the original Blaster Worm and launching it onto the internet early 2003. It launched a distributed denial-of-service attack against Microsoft Windows Update website from infected computers. Around 48,000 computers were infected. The court filings estimate the damages at $1.2 million. How could it have done $1.2 million worth of sites from something that gives away free updates? Where's that cash loss there? How did that work? How did you get $1.2 million? That is the biggest chunk of bullshit I've ever seen. Tim Cranton, senior attorney at Microsoft, said in a statement, Mr. Parson's additional community service will have the strongest impact on him than serving his sentence. What that actually means is not noted. Mr. Parson's additional community service will have a stronger impact on him than serving his sentence. That's an interesting viewpoint there, dude. And I also like the fact that, it's good that you didn't charge him the $500,000. But I don't really like corporations commenting on the judicial system. That's a little scary. And to add to this, activists are all terrorists. And if you don't think they are, well, we got legislation coming through. A terrorism bill would add Ohio to a growing number of states seeking harsher penalties from attacks by animal rights activists. Notice how they say it's an attack by animal rights activists. I could say direct action by animal rights activists and environmentalists, including those against dog food makers, where farms, animals are caged by university and animal labs. Arson, vandalism, assault, break-ins, and other tactics used by extremists are already illegal. A national group of conservative state lawmakers has been promoting laws creating a separate offense for eco-terrorism. Eco-terrorism since 2003. When California passed such a law, similar bills have died in Texas and Arizona, but others are pending in Pennsylvania, New York, and Mississippi. So they're gradually making the activist and the resistance activist into a terrorist. Sponsors say the bills are needed because fire bombings at ski resorts and at new subdivisions, break-ins to free disease-carrying laboratory animals, and threats against corporate executives and their families. So, these crazy activists, they're using the most extreme examples of psychos to declare all activists terrorists. The Humane Society of the United States opposes using violence in the name of protecting animals, but considers the bill too broad. Lobbyist Julie Janowski said the New York and Mississippi proposals outlawing videotaping without permission at farms and labs. Well, what's wrong with videotaping? They're not hurting nothing. At the root, they're trying to prohibit investigations into animal cruelty. Janowski said, I think at the root of it, they're trying to just, make all activism terrorism so we have no leg to stand on. Senator Jeff Jacobson included the animal language in a bill that would outlaw many activities considered domestic terrorism, such as donating money to groups in the U.S. on the U.S. State Department's list of terrorist organizations. So if you give money to an organization that the State Department doesn't like, you're a terrorist. Holy crap. This is why I don't want to know your name when you give me money and stuff. No particular animal attacks, right? Because this is why, if you're running a site, destroy your logs. Destroy everything. Okay, so at least if you're going down, don't take anyone with you. No particular animal rights attack in Ohio inspired him. He said he found the language in his Arizona bill on the internet. Wonderful. I was drafting this about the time that there were some home bombings and SUV bombings elsewhere. What the fuck? Jacobson said he would work to ensure the animal provisions apply only to felonies. His bill would add a tax on lawful animal activities such as farming, food processing, and hunting to the list of offenses that could be prosecuted under state racketeering law, allowing the state to seize assets after conviction or sue if the suspect is acquitted. So if they're acquitted from the crime, they can be sued and all the rest of it. That is some scary, scary stuff. Now, today's daily hack has to do with the no social security number card. I guess there's a card available if you don't have a social security number. And, of course, the advantages to this are huge. So check this out. We are devoted to educating others and spreading the truth about social security, the tax laws, and related topics. We do not give legal advice. We do, however, show you what the law says. What you do with the information is entirely up to you, and you're capable of making your own decisions. The No SSN card has been redesigned. If you no longer use or never had a social security number, you need one of these. If you no longer use your social security number, you need to get one of these cards. And you could argue that it's for your own personal security because there's so much identity theft. You have to look after your identity because otherwise your credit rating gets shot. So this is why it's a good idea to just lock yourself out of as many databases as you can because quite obviously they can't secure them. Come on now. This is very basic. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure. Oh, no, I won't. I lied to you. I will be back on Monday to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. So that means we made it through another week, and we got a weekend ahead of us. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of people willing to fight against the core political tyranny, and they are Druid Y, Simru, Topek, Jesse, The Great Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Techfreak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Four, Leak, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, Weblife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host, Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diremude, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. Thank you so much for your help, guys, because realistically, you have no idea how necessary you are in this crazy age we're living in. New subscribers this month were Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, and Kevin. Thank you so much for fighting against the tyranny. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. There you'll get all the information, and you know what? It feels pretty good, too, to stick it to these guys while you still can. Special thanks to some hard netrunners. A lot of guys sent me stories today. Great! Druid Y. Simru, Dead Code, No Delete, Jason, Valerian, Scared One. Is that Scarred One or Scared One? Tribu, Ricky Rocket, Sphinx Knight, Gluco, Bonsai, Poppy, Rebel Whore, Trofe. Is that Trophy or Trofe? Or Tofi. Dr. Marius, Sabo, Nalos, Rainstreak, Dookie JC, and the Harbinger of Chocolate. Thank you so much, guys. No digital baptisms today. And I got asked to name somebody's dick, and I draw the line at naming body parts. Sorry, not gonna happen. Upcoming events, don't forget, Nauticon's right around the corner, and thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the old school album, Sympathy by Ministry. Bet you didn't know that was Ministry in the background, but yeah, baby, that's the old school. And keeping with the old school theme, I'm going to leave you with another song by Ice-T called Freedom of Speech, from the Iceberg album. Very, very cool album, also old school. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Freedom of speech. That's some motherfucking bullshit. You say the wrong thing, they lock your ass up quick. The SEC says profanity, no airplay. They can suck my dick while I take a shit all day. Think I give a fuck about some silly bitch named Gore, your PMRC. Here we go, war. Yo, chick, what's the matter? You ain't getting no dick? You bitching about rock and roll. That's censorship, dumb bitch. The Constitution say we all got a right to speak. Say what we want, tip. Your argument is weak. Censor records, TV, school books, too. And who decides what's right to hear you? Hey, PMRC, you stupid fucking assholes. The sticker on the record, it wasn't making so gold. Can't you see? Your alcoholic hit. The more you try to suppress us, the larger we get. Freedom of speech! Just what did you say? Freedom of speech! Yeah, just what did you say? Freedom of speech! Yeah, boy, just what did you say? You have the right to remain silent. Fuck that right! I want the right to talk, I want the right to speak, I want the right to walk where I wanna. Yell and I'm gonna tell and rebel every time I'm on a microphone on the stage, cold illin'. The knowledge I drop will be heard by millions. We ain't the problems, we ain't the villains. It's the suck of the pride and the truth from our children. You can't hide the fact, jack the violence in the streets every day. Any fool can recognize that. But you try to lie and lie and say America's some motherfucking apple pie. Yo, you gotta be high to believe that you're gonna change the world by a sticker on a record sleeve. Cause once you take away my right to speak, everybody in the world's up shit creek. Freedom of speech! Yeah, just what did you say? Freedom of speech! Yeah, boy, just what did you say? Freedom of speech! Ha ha, you better watch what you say.
Explicit lyrics. Explicit lyrics.
Let me tell you about down south, where a motherfucker might as well not even have a mouth. Columbus, Georgia said they'd lock me up if I got on the stage in my show and said fuck. So I thought for a minute and said no, I wasn't even gonna do a damn show. Cause for me to change my words for my rhymes was never gonna happen cause there's no sellouts on mine. But I vowed to get those motherfuckers one day. They even arrested Bobby Brown and Cool J. Yo, they got this coming cause I'm mad and I'm gunning, homeboys, and there's no running. I'm gonna tell you how I feel about you. No bull, no lies, no slack, just straight fact. Columbus, Georgia, you can suck my dick. You ain't nothing but a piece of fucking shit on the damn map. Freedom of speech! Yeah, just watch what you say. Freedom of speech! Yeah, you better watch what you say. Freedom of speech! Just watch what you say.
Parental advisory. Parental advisory.
Freedom of speech, let them take it from me, next they'll take it from you, then what you gonna do? Let them censor books, let them censor art, BMRC, this is where the witch hunt starts. You'll censor what we see, we read, we hear, we learn, the books will burn. You better think it out, we should be able to say anything, our lungs were meant to shout. Say what we feel, yell out what's real, even though it may not bring mass appeal. Your opinion is yours, my opinion is mine, if you don't like what I'm saying, fine. But don't close it, always keep an open mind, a man who fails to listen is blind. We only got one right left in the world today, let me have it or throw the Constitution away.
Freedom of speech!
Yeah, just watch what you say.
Freedom of speech!
You better watch what you say.
Freedom of speech!
Yeah, boy, you better watch what you say.
Explicit lyrics. Explicit lyrics. What they're trying to do with radio, with this McCarran-Walter Act and a lot of other ways, is start by saying that they're protecting the public from wicked rock bands.